Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on Newstalk.
Now the time is 6:34. Poolbeg Pharma, named after the infamous red and white towers, has been working on some very exciting new ideas, including a new cancer immunity drug and a potential weight loss tablet. But most early drug developments fail to make it to the final round of testing on humans because it's so risky and so expensive. And what does pharma company make of the US-EU trade deal with its 50% tariffs thus far? Jeremy Skillington is the chief executive of Poolbeg Pharma and is sitting in front of me. Good morning, Jeremy.
Good morning, Joe.
Tell us a little bit more about what you're working on in terms of the cancer care treatment that you're
doing. Yeah, absolutely. I think very exciting times with Poolbeg right now. We're working on getting a drug into the clinic right now. It's working in cancer immunotherapy. So most recently, the cancer care treatments have advanced significantly, where the patients use their own immune system to go after their tumours. And pharma companies have done a terrific job developing what I call T-cell engagers. So it's using kind of an arm of your immune system to go after your own tumours. So it's worked terrifically well. And the efficacy has been tremendous, particularly in the hematological cancers. There are issues around toxicities and side effects. What happens is you develop this cytokine storm, cytokine release syndrome. And it's a watch and wait situation where 70% or so of patients develop the CRS. And what the docs do is kind of watch and wait. And they're able to kind of react to give treatments to kind of minimize the risk or minimize the effects of the CRS. But we believe with POLB001, we have a drug that can prevent this in the first place. Mm. And I think that helps, you know, not just the patients, but the healthcare systems, where the patients can take our drug at home, come into the hospitals and get their cancer immunotherapy, and then ideally just go home. So they don't have to stay in hospital.
That could save the health service executive a lot of money.
Yeah, they're taking up a lot of beds right now, insofar as with the development of CRS, they have to sit in a hospital bed for a week or two if this CRS develops. Mm-hmm. So if our clinical trial, which we plan to start in the second half of this year, is successful, we see that the patients can take our drug at home, get their, you know, life-saving, essentially, cancer immunotherapy, and then go home. So it kind of puts it in the community setting, which I think is the ultimate goal of healthcare. There's been lots of talk, particularly in the UK and across Europe, about moving certainly cancer treatments out of these dedicated cancer clinics into the community setting. And it's better for patients. They're closer to their families, closer to their home. They're going through a traumatic time.
We'll come to the timelines, because they can be torturous, in a moment. But let's focus on the other thing that you're looking at, which is GLP-1. Now, a few years ago, none of us had ever heard of GLP-1. But now, since Ozempic, Wegovy and Mounjaro has come around, GLP-1 and weight loss drugs are very much in vogue. Tell us about what you're working on.
Certainly are. I mean, it's been tremendous drugs. People have recognized, you know, started off in the diabetes setting, and then they noticed these patients were having significant weight loss. So then they kind of moved into clinical trials to analyze, and it's been striking. Now, I will say, when there is weight loss, you have these knock-on benefits of cardiovascular health to renal health. You know, there's, you know, so people are, you know, trying
and
more and more.
Mental health
drugs.
As well, I suspect.
Absolutely. There's actually a link to addiction, you know, which they feel that these GLP-1 drugs are, you know, will help with kind of addiction. But the issue with these, you know, these are peptides, they have to be given by injection. So, you know, you have compliance.
Which a lot of people have issues with.
A lot of people have issues with, you know, needle phobia is one example. So what, you know, what you want to do is kind of eventually end up with an oral variation or an oral variety of this.
Is that a tablet in plain English?
Well, it'll be kind of orally delivered. It's more of, you know, the technology we're working with, and I will kind of give a call out to AnaBioDone and Cork. They're our collaborators. They've got products on the market, where they're using this encapsulation technology. And what that does, it kind of protects the active pharmaceutical, which is the GLP-1. So it protects it. You can take it orally. It survives the stomach acids, the stomach enzymes, gets into the small intestine, and then it has its functional use.
So in theory, you could put this liquid or a tablet into your mouth and it's safe on the injection. Now, on the time scale side of things, if one is you dreaming up of an idea and 10 is it being literally prescribed in a pharmacy, where are you? Where are you on that scale with that GLP-1 drug?
We are running a proof of concept clinical trial later this year, and we've got all the pieces in place to work this up. We're collaborating with Professor Carel Le Roux.
Is that a 6 or a 7 on the scale?
I'd like to say 6 or 7. Now, I will say the components that we're using, they already have proof of concepts, and now we're combining them together. So we kind of feel we've de-risked the program. But we'll have data. We'll have human data early next year, into the first half of next year, which again will tell us if this approach works. And if it does, then it opens up a world of possibilities. capabilities. We're a partnering focused company, so we will look then to the big pharma companies to partner with us to bring it forward.
This is where the big guys come in, because they have the big wallets.
They have the
big
wallets.
And they can afford to spend the really expensive. The human trials is basically is so punishing financially.
Well, there's that aspect as well, but they're looking to kind of supplement their pipelines. They're looking to bring other programs forward to fill their pipelines. They're ultimately, their expertise is in clinical trial execution and commercialization, and they're looking for programs and products like POB001. Mm-hmm. We'll do that early de-risking in humans, in patients, and once we de-risk it, then they kind of swoop in, take the program forward, because we've done a lot of the heavy lifting for them, and then they bring it forward to run clinical trials.
And would they buy your company or buy just the idea, the patent?
We're open to both, but right. I will say, we do have a very robust patent coverage, let's say, with the POB001, particularly in the cancer immunotherapy approach. So that's something, if they want to pursue, they'll have to come to us for that. But with human data in hand, we think they'll be interested in kind of doing some kind of an exclusive license or an acquisition of the program to take that forward.
Is that timeline, Jeremy, getting longer or shorter, i.e. from the dreaming up idea to the being prescribed, given the litigious nature of the industry, is it getting longer or shorter?
I think it's getting shorter, because people are getting cleverer now. They're identifying patients that would benefit most in a whole host of, say, like diagnostic or biomarkers. They can kind of pinpoint which patients would benefit most.
So they're segmenting the market even more.
They are, but then for that, what you want to see is efficacy. You want to see success. You don't want to give drugs to patients when they don't work, because that's an issue just from a patient standpoint or a statistic standpoint, getting drugs on the market. Maybe the payers will step in. So if you can identify the patients in advance who will benefit most, that's a success all around. And particularly for POLB001, we see that we'll be able to give our drug to all comers, to all patients who are eligible. And these, for the start, we'll be looking at multiple myeloma patients. And I think... Multiple myeloma. So this is one of the hematological cancers.
All right. Let's stick to something we understand. Can I ask you about tariffs? You run a pharma
sure.
company. Was there relief in Poolbeg Towers at the weekend that a 15% tariff will apply, or are you worried that that's not the end of the issue?
No, I think when we saw come through, I think it gave clarity. I think that was the speak from government yesterday, just seeing clarity. I think, when you look at tariffs, and obviously there's a lot of chaos going on right now, but particularly in the pharma sector, Ireland has a very robust pharmaceutical manufacturing industry. There's like 116 billion worth of pharmaceuticals are exported every year.
It's a chunk of change.
Huge chunk. And a 15% tariffs, what goes through my mind is that the ultimate penalty or the ultimate payers for this will be patients or the health, the payers, the insurance companies, particularly in the US. So it's almost like the US or these tariffs that Trump is bringing in, they will impact
to the cost.
They will add to the cost of the patients and their payers.
And they're already paying the highest for healthcare in
absolutely.
The United States.
And these are citizens.
Of course, the Trump administration and Howard Lutnick and all these guys say, no, it won't be the US consumer that pays.
I'd like to see the data when that comes through. Yeah. But the one thing I will say, tariffs are coming in right now. There's 3.5 years left in this administration. Mm. Let's see what happens in 3.5 years. There might be a different
how
perspective.
How many will move over in the next 3.5 years?
And the last point I'll make on that, he's trying to bring back pharmaceutical manufacturing or bring it, pharmaceutical manufacturing to the US. It takes a lot to, build a factory and validate a factory and get employees. It takes a long time, longer than 3.5 years for sure.
Yeah.
So we'll see where it goes. But I think Ireland has a very robust pharmaceutical industry. And, I think the government and IBEC in particular are acutely aware.
That's great. And on that glass half full, we shall bring it to a close. Jeremy, thank you very much for coming in. That's Jeremy Skillington, the Chief Executive of Poolbeg Pharma. Back in a moment, talking about district heating.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.